Welcome to Wellness Radio with Dr. Jeanette Gallagher as your host. Her show discusses topics of health, wellness, and spirituality, and is about discovering your place in this great universe, from your cells to the cosmos. Along with her guest, in casual conversation, she strives to ask the difficult questions that may be holding you back from a vibrant life, and shares new ideas that may inspire you to make a change in your life that you only can see in your dreams. And now, here is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Wellness Radio. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher, and it's a pleasure to have you with us here this evening. Tonight, we are going to be talking about parenting. Does it just sometimes seem like everybody's got a piece of the action and all of these nosy, busybodies telling you how to do it, what you're doing right, what you're doing wrong? Don't you sometimes feel like it's so overwhelming? Yet really, in your deep moments, you say, you know what? I really kind of liked what they said. I really kind of connected with how they shared it. And yeah, I kind of needed that tip, but I just didn't want them to know. Isn't that really the truth these days? We kind of do need a little bit of guidance, a little bit of support along the way, and sometimes maybe a little insight to actually how we are engaging with the children around us. We could be a grandparent, single parent, mother, father, or just someone who would love to take care of a child. Exactly how are you engaging with children around you? That's what we'll be talking about today with JJ Campagna. Her book is For the Love of Me, Parenting with Intention. Joan, thank you so much for joining us today. It's a pleasure to have you with us.
Thank you very much. I can't wait to get my words out there.
So, Joan, don't you think that sometimes we, a lot of times people are sticking their two cents in, but sometimes in the back of our mind we say, you know what, yes, I liked it, I know I didn't like it, or, you know, we kind of say, maybe it just needed to be said, yes?
Yes, and my own daughter said to me, oh, JJ, I hate it when you're right, but I used your ideas and they're working for me. And
right.
That was great confidence for me.
Yeah, it's so true. You know, I have four kids myself in their late 20s and 30s, and I look back on it, and they say it so many things along, you know, the decades of life, and those just those little pearls you like to hold on to. I can remember when my kids would always say, they would always say, can't lie to my mom, she knows everything. And they were attuning to my psychic mediumship, you know, and that I truly did know everything. And they were like, don't go over there. You can't hide anything. She's always going to know about it. So don't you think that sometimes when we say out of the mouth of babes, as kids would say, isn't that really true, right?
Oh, it is. It is. In fact, I have 7-year-old twin granddaughters, step-granddaughters. And they were so happy to see my book finally in print because I had been talking about it. And their mother put it on an e-book for them. And they said to me, did Aunt So-and-so read this book? She's the one that needs this. And I thought, oh, my God, they understand. They really understand.
Yeah.
And
you
know what? She wanted a copy for her teacher.
Right, and it's also, too, I think that we would love to say we'd like to share it with each other. However, also, too, we understand that people are looking at things from different perspectives. You know, there's always someone who's saying, you need to do it this way, you need to do it that way. And in essence, I say to people, take a step back because they feel affronted, you know, and I'll say, you know what?
Yes.
Maybe they want you to do it first, so they can see how they can do it themselves. And isn't that such an eye-opening revelation? Yes?
Oh, yes. Yes, definitely. Definitely. And I'll use little tidbits that my own children, you know, my adult children now, have used. And I see them using, planting the seeds that I've tried to plant in them for years. You know, and just, seeds of kindness and seeds of forgiveness and sharing, you know, sharing what you plant comes back tenfold, I believe. So I'm a grandmother to 19. I have really lived it. And I keep in touch with each and every one, and some are in their 20s now. But that was my gift, when I was able to present this to them, they're like, oh, JJ, it's what we lived.
Mm-hmm.
And they've all, you know, I would say 8 of them have graduated college with master's degrees, and they're going on and raising their own children now, and it's just wonderful to see that it has worked. I didn't ever try to be their friend. I was the parent.
Right. You know what I think also, too, the idea that many times people will say in social media these days, their kids don't really want to hear about it. A lot of times parents or grandparents will say, oh, they have me blocked. They don't want me to hear, see, or anything, or they don't want to hear me tag them at all. So what I found on mine is I don't do that, but what I do is I share things just randomly. In other words, let's just hit the share button on Facebook and let it go out to your general page. And then, you know, it's so funny because, like, maybe a week or two later, my kids will be talking to me and they'll be saying something, and it'll be exactly the article that I had just shared to them, and I know they had read it on the page. And I go, oh, yes. My gosh. So we're almost like we wish to see it as feathers, as you say in the book, in the wind.
Yes.
We also want to be able to send something out there anonymously. We just want to be able to get the information out there. We don't always need to have a, hey, attaboy kind of pat on the back, don't you think?
Exactly, exactly. I mean, they will read things that I have sent to friends, you know what I mean, and they are also on my list.
Right.
And they'll come back and say, well, good job, JJ. Or they'll say, oh, you know, I would like a copy of that. I have a friend that's having twins, and I would love a copy of your book because she knows nothing about parenting. And I'm like, wow, okay.
Yeah.
She really wants to a copy for her girlfriend. And I had a little neighbor friend, and I gave some out at Halloween for parents when they would come to the door. I said, mm-hmm. I'd like you to read this. And she said, my daughter has watched you write, sitting out in the yard, writing, and when you handed us a copy at Halloween, you don't know what that did for us. It really helped us because we were struggling at that point with some of the children.
Let's talk about your book, For the Love of Me. On each page, what you really have is an inspiration word or phrase, and it's really about being able to say, how can we engage with this concept for this moment? You know, exactly on this one page I opened up to, it says, if you love me, you will teach me how to be a good loser as well as a good winner. Both are so important. And what I like about the book is that you can open it up to any page, and there's so much space on the page you can write your own notes. And
nope.
You know, I always say to everyone is when you write your own notes, be sure to date them. Because you could say, I felt this way when you were 3, and then you go back and you might date it again when they were 12 or 13, and then you hand the book and pass it on to them when they have their own children, and they will say, wow, look at what my mom was thinking then, and how can I engage in this full circle? Don't you think this is really a generational book?
Oh, yes, definitely. And that's what I said when I presented it to my older grandchildren. I want you to pass this down. And they're like, oh, we will. It was like I gave them $1 million, and it just made me feel so special. But I put intention into it. And I think the words that we use are so important, for words have energy. And a lot of parents will say words, but they don't really realize the impact that they're going to have. And I felt that this one small book had a lot of powerful words.
What
and I wrote it almost like a PowerPoint. It came into me like a PowerPoint, which
right.
I knew was important.
Yeah. What I really like about it, too, though, is it's not really about a lot of fluff around. It's not text heavy. It's, you know, about let's teach our children. Let's encourage trust. Let's show what love is all about. And those are more talking about the qualities and the beliefs and the core values of life. Don't you think that's so much
oh,
more
definitely.
Important?
And my one grandchild said to me, he is not being kind to me on the bus. It's not being kind and considerate. And I'm like, oh, my God, they're really understanding the words I'm trying to teach them. And, of
right.
course, their parents work along with them because I can write and write and write, but it takes the parent to implement it into their basic family life. You know,
right.
today with so many blended families and places deployed, parents deployed in the service and divorce and grandparents raising them. And I'm like, everybody somehow has to get on the same page.
Yeah. And also, too, I think that when elders are reading it or an adult is reading the book, sometimes it brings you full circle, too. Like, let's say if you sit down and read something to the child, you could say, we're going to have a moment of inspiration today. You know, this is what I read in my book. What are your thoughts? So you could share it with a child. But then also, too, the child can later reflect it back to you. So it really is about full circle. You know, I think we get so stuck in the idea that, oh, these are adult concepts, don't put them on the kids. Or we say, you know, there's this concept now, when you get to be over 75, start acting like a child. And, you know, people who have dementia and Alzheimer's says, you know, I don't understand what you're talking about, you know. And people get so confused and so angry about the time or space they are in life, like, I don't want to be a child. I don't want to live like a child. I don't care what my values are. And don't tell me what I have to do because I'm in a different generation or a different time frame. Don't you think that sometimes that angst shows up?
Oh, definitely. Definitely. But I think there's so, in our community, we have a lot of grandparents raising children. And and that's who I really wanted to get some of my books out to. And it's working. I mean, they're calling and saying, thank you, because now I'm getting back to the basics again, you know, with all the handheld toys and all that they have on the computer and games and all that. They're like, I have to take the time to work with this grandchild, or I have to work with this niece that I have now inherited. And sometimes people think that the teachers are going to teach all this. Well, they go to school to teach children, but not teach them what things the parents are supposed to.
You know, I look at even the word value, and I think about it, and I don't even think anybody has any concept of what value means. You know, how do you value self? How do you value the moment? How do you value your place in this world? You know, everybody is like, oh, I take it for granted. I already showed up. I'm here. I'm good, you know? And and that's what they believe. Don't you think that sometimes even that is a question?
Oh, definitely, definitely. But the parent today has to be the teacher and has to be the example and has to be the hero. And I think all that's gone by the wayside. You know, put thought into your parenting and put intention into it. And that's why I tried to make a forever type book, that no matter how old they were, if it was somebody 20, towards the end of the book are things that you can use. But if you have taught from page 1 to page 80 some through the years, go back and implement with the next child coming up. Do you follow me?
Right.
You don't have to just put it away and leave it on the bookshelf.
Right.
You can pull it out for a 2-year-old. You can pull it out for a 12-year-old or a 20-year-old.
That's
what I was trying to reach.
I think also, too, the idea, you have a page here that says, if you love me, you will create a home that's secure where harmony abides. If you look back in history, most grandparents now grew up in very difficult times. It was right after World War II. It was very abusive, a lot of alcohol and drugs at that time. There was a lot of strife. There was a lot of survival and poverty in that time. So if we look at it, most of the stories that grandparents tell nowadays is about how hard things are. And they bring that same story forward saying how hard things are. And kids are saying, what are you telling me? Things are not hard. Things show up. You do. In other words, they have more of alignment. I think sometimes when we read books like yours, again, the book is For the Love of Me, it's about not dragging our old ancestral history into the present moment with children, is how can we create or shift our present moment with where the children are now, don't you think?
Yes, definitely, definitely. And that's why I feel that with the homes, the divided homes and people deployed and, you know, you're taking on responsibilities you never thought you would have again. And you really have to get back to the basics. And, you know, teach them of kindness and forgiveness and sharing and, you know, keep their spirit alive and their inspiration alive in them. It's not just a woe is me world.
Right.
But there's
and
other
also,
parts of it.
Don't you think it's also regardless of how you grew up? let's all enjoy in how the present is. You know, I think we say that I grew up that way, and, you know, I'm going to rule them with an iron fist because that's how I learned. And we go, wow, that's really causing a lot of disharmony and stress in children already in a world that does not exist anymore.
Yes.
Don't you think?
Exactly. Exactly. And you have to like I would always stoop down to my grandchildren so that I was on their eye level. And they knew when I meant something, and they knew what was important, and by the tone of my voice. But I always tried to be an example for them and show love, no matter if I was disciplining, whatever was happening. You know, do it, correct them in a kind way, and really put thought into your intention and into your words. That's why I tell my friends it's a forever book. Its contents never grows old, and it will never be outdated if you go back to the basics. I mean, things change, life changes all the time. But the basics are there in the book, in the direct wording, I think.
I think sometimes when couples have a lot of disharmony or things going on in their life, and, you know, they're saying, oh, this just doesn't work, we got to split up or whatever, sometimes books like this, even before having children, are very beneficial because it kind of sets the paradigm. How will we talk to our children about these things? Because what happens is when you have kids, it's almost like you're playing your old tapes. And instead, if you could turn around and say, okay, I've played out all my old tapes, I'm done with my stories, now let's see how we can parent our children in a new age world. Really, that's what we're talking about. If we can parent them in a new age world, you know, we heal in response to having them growing up and showing us new ways. Sometimes people say, oh, what that's really, I don't even know what that talks about. And I always say to them, it's just being open and saying, I'm going to not be so afraid all the time, not going to be angry, not going to be over judgmental. I'm going to let the children play. I'm going to let them speak. I'm going to let them explore. You know, and I think that's really a new age concept in itself to some, yes?
Oh, definitely, definitely. I have been working with a little deaf girl that's 4 years of age behind me, and I sit her on the arm of the wide sofa, and she's surveying her. She's the queen, and she's surveying her country. And she, it takes her mind off of everything, and she just surveys her country. And I hadn't seen her for 3 or 4 months, and she came into my living room and immediately jumped up on the arm of the sofa. And her mother's trying to yank her off, and I'm like, no, no, I know what she's doing. I know what she's doing. She's finding herself, and she knows what this is about.
Right. Yeah. And I think that also, too, we don't want them to be stored up with also have kids. You know, it's almost like when they're born, you don't want to give them the baggage of fear. Do you know what I mean? Like, we don't want the kids to run outside because they'll trip and fall. We don't want the kids to go hang gliding because, you know what happened to us on our last trip. Or we don't want them to do this, that, or the other. Or, they might be sick. We shouldn't go outside because it's cool out. You know, all of these ideas is a whole lot of generational baggage that, each decade, it kind of like adds some more and some more. Don't you think sometimes there's so much fear there that we find that kids almost are like rebelling, almost saying like the rebellion, we're saying, why are these kids so bold? Why are they so challenging? Maybe they're just trying to tell you to shake off your baggage and explore.
Yes. Yes. In fact, I learned something this weekend. I'm in Washington State on vacation with my great nieces and nephews' children, or my niece and nephew's children, which makes them my great nieces and nephews. And the little 3-year-old swam. She asked her mother, and she, of course, she had her life with everyone, can I swim from the boat to the they were pulling like a sled type thing on the back of the boat, the whole, like, 4 children. And a jet ski. And she said, can I swim to the jet ski? And her mother said, yes. And I'm like dying inside.
Right.
And she just dove off and she swam to it. And I thought, oh my goodness.
Right.
You know, this is teaching me still to not have the fear.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's so important because once you be able to do that, then you can back up the story and say, I don't have that fear. However, how can we teach them prevention? How can we show them how to have skills? In other words, she was taught how to be able to do it, but also you can teach her, don't go there with this set of circumstances. Be sure you have, mother has CPR. Be sure that they know that, you know, you do it only when I'm present. So in other words, then you're setting up a whole paradigm web, which is so totally different other than stamping fear on it and just not even doing it, right?
Exactly, exactly. And she's fearless. I mean, she's willing to try anything. She loves the hot tub. She can't reach the bottom, but she jumps and then swims a little bit. And I'm like, oh, this is wonderful.
Right.
This is so different from what I was taught.
Yes. Yeah, if we look back on, you know, when I grew up in the 50s, it was like, you don't do this kind of stuff, you know. I can remember swimming in the lake, and it was like, oh, the lake had a lot of seaweed and stuff in the bottom and all. And it was like, if your feet just touched it, you go, oh, that's creepy. I don't know. I have fear. And it was like, okay, I'll just learn to float. I'm not putting my feet down. So it was the idea of, no thanks, you know.
And I had one grandchild that loved horses, so I sent away for this film, So You Want to Ride a Horse. And it showed the little girl loving the horse and brushing the horse and all. And so when I took them to a farm, we were outside of the fence, you know, we were not inside the fence, and the horse came up, this great big horse, monster horse, came up and is licking her face, and she's reaching and petting it. I'm thinking, oh, my God, if one bite and there goes her nose or something.
Right.
But she had no fear, and the horse knew that. And she just, and the owner said, oh, my gosh, he likes her, and because she had no fear.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes we instill our own fears.
Right.
Into children. And that's what we have to realize. It's a new world now. It's a new world that they're conquering, and not to carry our fears into them.
Because we're not writing their story. We're not giving them our story and then they overlay it. We're truly giving them an open book. Yes.
Exactly. Exactly. And it's so different today. And I see I'm different with my grandchildren than I was with my own children.
Yeah.
I mean, they choose their friends. I don't try to be their friend. They choose their friends, and they'll answer me on Facebook, and it keeps me in tune with them as to what's going on in their life. It's not like I'm following them around and texting them constantly, but they'll see something. Like I sent some pictures from Washington State, and they're like, wow, can't wait to get there. And these are the 20-year-olds. So you can keep in contact with them through Facebook as a fun thing and a good thing. It doesn't all have to all be bad, you know.
Right, right. And I also, let's talk for a second about example. Sometimes we say, we see that they are fearless. We know that we are fearful. And then how do we lead by example? So I think the example is you did not have to do the same thing that your grandchild did, but you could be in the presence with the moment. Don't you think sometimes people will say, oh, but look, at the two-year-old can do it. Why can't you do it? Oh, I'm sure you've heard that a million times.
Oh, definitely. Definitely.
And we've probably even said it, I'm sure, many times. Mm-hmm. You know, that other person can do it. Why can't you do it? And it's sort of like, I think those are some words that we love to say now in this day and age. We are ready to kick those to the curb, and we're just almost to say, I see what they're doing. It looks like fun, and we may or may not choose to do it. We don't have to be the example of everything because we're not everything as a perfection, right?
Exactly. But I think one important thing is that I taught my children was I was not going to lie for them. Oh, well, if the phone rings and it's Susie Smith, I don't want to talk to Susie today. And I'm like, no, you get on the phone and tell Susie that you're not ready to talk today. I wouldn't make an excuse and say, oh, she's out in the yard playing when she's sitting there. And they remember that. I was not going to tell a lie for them.
Right. And also, too, I think the idea is that if you are afraid of something, say you're afraid. and say, okay, I'm afraid of that. However, can we go try something else? And I think that's really sharing with children to say, I see that you love to go like swimming in the ocean, but I've had a lot of fear about going to the ocean. Can we go swimming in the pool? And I think that still brings out a very similar experience, which so many are looking for, yes?
Definitely, definitely, yes. And they know if, like, I fear lightning, but I try not to show that around them. You know, I just say it's not safe on the beach. We need to leave now. And right. And not show my fear, where my mother grew up, where she would go lock herself in the closet so she didn't see the lightning. And I'm like, no, we don't have to hide from it. We just have to be inside where we're safe.
Right.
And they understand that. They understand that. They know how deep they can go in the water or at the sea. And they understand, you know. And the little girl, when I'll backtrack, the little girl that swam to the other side of the jet ski tumbled off into the water. And she went kind of like over backwards. And I thought, oh, my God. But she popped up and, you know, we're watching her do this. And
right.
And she swam right to the boat again. And I thought, oh, my gosh. But she had no fear. She
yeah.
didn't panic when she slipped off. So I think it's so important to teach them or to have them have swimming lessons or something like that, no matter what age they are.
Yeah, all of my kids, every single one, were in the pool by the time they were 6 months old. And I can I can remember, it was just recently, my son, his wife, she had posted something, oh, well, our child needs to go get swimming lessons. I said, your child's already a year old, you know. I mean, my grandchild, they said, put him in the pool and just, you know, let him go. Put his swimmies on and let him go. And it was almost like her... Sometimes their fear overrides it, and I think they think that if something happens, they will be blamed. If something happens, they will be in trouble. If something happens, something bad, you know, is going to be out
yes,
there.
Yes.
When really, you know, I mean, I've been around water my entire life. All of my kids have, like I said, 6 months on up, they've always been in the pool. They can swim like fishes, so they don't have that fear. And I think sometimes we say, if you're fully engaged in an experience at a young age, you'll be able to understand it and it becomes part of you. In other words, if you understand kindness at a young age, it's always there. If you understand that a home is safe and secure, you'll bring that forward. If you understand that yes and no are both options and they both are relevant, you always have that also, too, in your vocabulary. So I think sometimes when we say, when you push it off or you push it to the side and say, oh, no, it's not going to show up for me, is when it will show up for you, yes?
Definitely, definitely. Yes, it's and each parent, each grandparent, a neighbor, anybody who touches the life of a child needs to have some basics. As to teach them kindness, to show forgiveness, to have a share, and it only helps them, I believe. You know, don't quench their spirit. If they're inspired to try something, let them try it. Even if you're afraid of it, let them try it and be there for their own safety's sake. But you know, and I think tolerance, that we need to teach tolerance to children and empathy and all the things that, you know, we didn't hear of when we were little. We were just taught to be
right.
tolerant without realizing the word.
Yeah, and also, too, we were also, many times kids were taught to rule with an iron fist, be able to keep going forward. It's your life, you know, up the ladder kind of thing. When really now New Age children are taught about the humanity, expansiveness,
yes.
about we're all in this together, about oneness of the world, instead of in the past, many decades, we've been taught it's only all about you, how fast and how far can you go and how high, because you got to be above and beyond everyone. And I think
yes.
that idea
mm-hmm.
is really taken a I really hope it's gone in the incinerator, that kind of idea,
yes.
because it really did not serve, nor did it help anyone. It really almost was self-destructive, don't you think?
Oh, definitely, definitely. I start each of my grandchildren and my children with a little garden, from planting the seeds and watching the little green heads come up, and then watering them and weeding them. And they're like, oh, no, no, she's putting too much water on them. But I let them each have the watering can and let them learn. Now, some of them may drown their plants, but the other ones watch, do you see, and they learn from each
right.
other. But they love picking that flower and putting it in the vase and bringing it in or presenting it to a neighbor. And I just think each child is a flower in their own right, and they just have to be, the seeds have to be planted in them. And that's
really,
what I've tried to do.
Don't you think it's also learning nurturing at a young age? In other words, it's instead of always receiving, it's also learning about giving. You know, it's
exactly.
you're giving and you're nurturing
mm-hmm.
something else in the world besides always giving and getting and getting and getting for yourself.
Exactly. And one of their happiest moments was when they could pick a bouquet. The neighborhood children were getting on the bus near my house, and my roses were up in early May, and I cut bouquets, and even the boys come up and said, can we have some to take to our teacher? So I went in and got some more paper towels and cut
right.
the stickers off and the thorns off, and they were happy as a lark getting on the bus. But
yeah.
but they love it, you know, and they come over and they'll help me weed and teaching kindness. Like I have the one family behind me comes over and makes sure my walk is shoveled. They have their boy at 10 shoveling walk, and then I looked out and there were all these kids there, and it was his Cub Scout troop that
mm-hmm.
was out shoveling my walk. And they said, well, we have to do something kind for someone. And I'm like, oh, isn't that wonderful? And the next thing I knew, they were all snow angels out in the snow. And so I took some pictures out.
Right.
But it's teaching them at a young age.
Yes, yes. And I think, truly, your book is be able to hold on. And I think also your book is really, truly about how can we just sit down and say, you know, sometimes you're super frustrated or sometimes you just need to have a moment to yourself. Your book, For the Love of Me, really, you could set this on any counter, open up the page, and I'm sure you will find words for that moment. And you'll be able to reset, shift your energy, refocus, or maybe just say, you know what, I need to go in my room and cry and I'm going to go shut the door. You know, you have to do whatever it is for yourself also.
Yes.
Not also,
yes.
too. About you giving to the kids all the time. It truly is about
exactly.
nurturing self.
Exactly. That's very true. You have to. And when they see you taking care of yourself, they understand some of the things you've been teaching them. In other words, if they see me polishing a piece of furniture, I'd let them polish some furniture and see that it is work. And then with the twins, they came down one weekend, and I had them scrubbing the floor. And
mm-hmm.
my daughter-in-law said, oh, my gosh, I don't think they even knew what a scrub brush was because we have a maid that does that. And I'm like, do you see
right.
them having fun? And they're like, we love it.
You know? Yeah.
And they're scrubbing the floor in their bathing suits, and they're loving it. So the next time they visit, they said, can we scrub out on the porch? Can we scrub the porch furniture? And I'm like, sure, that's wonderful.
Yeah.
And, you know, before I knew it, four of them had my porch scrubbed. And no one was hurt. Everyone was in bathing suits, and they learned how to rinse the porch, and they looked forward to it. And my son-in-law said, I would never have thought that. I would have never thought to just give them the hose and some detergent, you know, some
right.
dish detergent, and let them with the scrub brushes. And I'm like, yeah, I'm loving it.
There's some lost generations here, I'll tell you. Because, you know, when they say, I don't know, you know, they would never do that. I'm going, oh, Lord. You know, I even said to someone at one time a few weeks ago, I said, could you go get me some celery from the grocery store? And they said, I don't know what that is. Can you Google it and send me a picture? And I went, are you seriously kidding me? It's like,
oh, that's funny.
Amazing what we all think that everybody has the same conceptual lives and upbringings, habits and formations in their how they've grown up, when truly that is not the truth, don't you think?
Well, yes. And I'll give you an example. I had an ironing board set up in the kitchen, and I was pressing some napkins for a dinner party that I was going to have. Mm-hmm. And they're like, what are you doing? And I'm like, I'm ironing. And I'm like, go get me your blouse or your top, and I'll show you how nice it can be.
Mm-hmm.
And they went, and they got the little T-shirt thing, and I pressed it, and they're like, wow, this is like new out of the store. So mm-hmm. I let them work with the iron carefully. They're seven now. And watch them, and they pressed the napkins. And they were so pleased that they could do that. And their mother's like, really? They never seen an iron. And I'm like, I know.
Yeah.
But
amazing.
They want to try everything.
Yeah. Well, Joan, it was such a pleasure to speak with you today, because I think really what we're sharing is the stories that you and I have engaged in our lifetime, and how they can help and bring forth how to raise children in these days. And maybe, you know, if your child doesn't know what celery or an onion is, maybe you could show them, even though it's irrelevant to your everyday life. It might be a new experience to have fun with, right?
That's for sure. Yes.
Absolutely.
It's been very nice talking with you, and I'm glad you enjoyed my book.
Oh, yes. Can you share with the listeners how to find out more information about you? That would be wonderful.
Oh, yes. Let's see. I'm a world traveler, and I've traveled with Sister Cities, which was an organization that Dwight Eisenhower started in the 50s. And I've attended peace tours with them to Egypt and South Africa, and I accompanied my husband, who was a surgeon, on medical conventions, and not that I took in the convention, but I was there and was able to do world travel, which was wonderful. And my faith and spiritual life grew as I attended New Age conferences for 30-some years with many of today's top speakers, which has led me to some of my inspirational writings. And I've published two books, and I'm editing two more of my Willow's Bend series through Balboa Press, a division of Hay House. And my family life, if I get to that, consisted of two marriages and two children of my own, six stepchildren, and 19 grandchildren, which give me much to write about. And I love working with Mother Earth, and I love being an avid gardener, and I enjoy my meditative walks by the sea. And that's coming in one of my next books, How I Healed from My Husband's Early Death, and found myself walking by the sea. And the writings just kind of come out of the blue. I think I'm being helped from above with them, but I think they're important, each and every one. I hope I can encourage others to sit down and write also. Joan.Campagna, all lowercase, joan.campagna@gmail.com.
Well, Joan, it was such a pleasure to have you with us. I think sometimes people say, is it that hard or is it that easy? And we say, yes, it's a little bit of both. Yes.
Oh, my gosh. It came in very easily, but oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
You have to. I prayed my way through it, and I got through it, and I'm very excited about it. But I would encourage anybody that feels that they have a story to tell or something that they want to publish, they should do it. I mean, I did it by hand. Everything was by hand. I mean, I didn't know the computer. I didn't know anything. I'm just learning all that now, but I got it out there, and I'm very happy about that.
Yeah.
So anybody can do it if they really want to.
Well, Joan, it was such a pleasure to have you with us. I thank you so much for sharing your stories.
Thank you.
If you'd like to find out more information about JJ Campagna, again, her book is For the Love of Me, Parenting with Intention. Please do click on the link on the bottom of today's show page, and you go directly to her website for more information. And do check out her other books as well. As we say, it's sometimes you just need a few words. You need to have a little shift in your energy, a little bit of intention, a little bit of moments that will say, you know what, it's going to be okay. Everything is just fine, no matter what kind of chaos is spinning around you today. Thank you so much for joining us today. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher. Until tomorrow, have a great day.
Today we discussed many life-changing concepts. Who do you turn to, and how do you know what is best when faced with a health crisis? Dr. Jeanette is a patient advocate. She listens to the patient, the doctors, and the family, clarifies the health issues and concerns, then helps the patient make the best choices going forward. If you would like help implementing change into your life and health, we can talk and see where you are stuck and how to improve the quality of your life. check the link on the bottom of today's show page or visit drjeanettegallagher.com to schedule a phone appointment today.